you for tuning in to Wrestling with Freddie. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for joining the Frederation. And today, it's not going to be story time. We're going to have a guest, a fantastic guest. So let's start the show. Welcome to Wrestling with Freddie.
Now, stepping up to the mic, the host of Wrestling with Freddie, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Ladies and gentlemen, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Goes mild.
Yeah. Goes mild. Welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, I'm doing good. I was just saying before we recorded that I took the morning shift with the kiddo, so, you know, but I'm doing okay. I'm glad this is a podcast, and, you know, I haven't put a comb through my hair yet this morning, but...
Yeah, sorry, I haven't shaved in about a week and a half, so we're on the same page, brother.
Yeah, we're all a little grizzly here. Yeah?
Exactly, man. So I started this podcast a while ago, and this is about, I don't know, 10 or 11 episodes in, and a lot of the talk in the beginning was sort of how it all came to fruition. And I started talking about that Ric Flair retirement match that we all went to.
Yeah.
And I got sidetracked on the gambling that we had. And I don't know if I told the story right or not, but I don't think you lost a match the whole night. And I think you walked home with like $800 or some shit like that.
Well, you know what it was? Is that I wasn't really watching the product a lot around that time. So everyone kept on putting in bets on what, you know, everyone was being so smart, you know, yeah. And I was like, cool, I'll take Randy Orton. Sure, man. Like, you know, yeah. Like,
yeah, there was, it drove me nuts. We were there. There were, I think, four of us, and all of us watched a lot except you, and you didn't lose a bet the whole night, and it drove me absolutely insane, but it reignited my sort of love of wrestling. And I was just hoping that you could kind of touch on where you and your family kind of got their love. Cause I know your brother is a hardcore fan, and I don't think you ever jumped into the dark side, or if you did, at least not for as long as your brother did, but I've seen your knowledge, and I was just wondering where it all started, when it started and where it came from.
For me, it was when I was doing Uncle Buck, and you know, so I'm sitting in some place in like suburban Chicago or whatever, and so this must have been the winter of '89, and so it was one of those what were they called, essentially the daytime shows, like, you know.
Oh, the Saturday. Yeah. What was that
called? Not main events, but yeah, I forget what it was, like a recap shows
with the ones they shot in Philly. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And they were showing a replay of Warrior Honky Tonk Man from SummerSlam 89. And it was the first wrestling match I ever saw on, you know, and boo. And I, as soon as that, like, you know, that music hit and all that kind of stuff, I was just like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, when it comes not Honky Tonk Man, the Warrior.
Okay. But, you didn't like the Honky Tonk music?
I know. You know what? I appreciate him so much more now.
Yeah.
Guys, like, I miss guys like the Honky Tonk Man and the Genius. I think wrestling needs more guys like that nowadays, for sure. You know, yeah. But yeah, no, the music hit and boom. And then next thing you know, I was hooked. And I was looking it up, you know, made sure I didn't miss anything. And, you know, I remember a year later, I was back in Chicago and I was working on Home Alone. And that's when WrestleMania 6 happened. And I was such a big Warrior fan, all that stuff, but I couldn't watch the pay-per-view because I was working. So they actually had a hotline back then, remember? You had to call in and they would tell you the results.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Heck yeah. And I was ecstatic when they were like, and the ultimate war. It's like Mean Gene doing it. And the ultimate warrior defeats Hogan, you know, like, yeah, you know, and yeah, and I was like, ah, shit, yeah, you know, yeah. And so, you know, but that's how I watched WrestleMania 6 for the first time, was Mean Gene recapped it for me over the phone at like whatever, $10 a minute or something.
So in 87 or 88, I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and there was a house show at the place where like the rodeos were at, because that's all that really came to New Mexico. And it was called Tingley Coliseum. And there really wasn't a good seat in the house, but there were seats there, but there were just pillars everywhere. So there were people blocked all over the place. And they were going to do a battle royal I think it was just a little battle royal. And all the kids would like run down to the rail to see their favorite wrestlers come in. And I didn't have a ticket for that area, but I ran in with the other kids And the Ultimate Warrior ran by, and the security guy grabbed me and was like, hey, you don't have a ticket. And the Ultimate Warrior didn't put his hand on me, but kind of around me and on the security guy. And he goes, it's okay.
Jeez.
And I could smell, I still remember, I smelled like dirt from the Coliseum, baby oil, and sweat. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say baby oil.
Oh
yeah.
My God. I still smell it. And his like the bicycle tassels were like kind of like wet and sticky and like on my face when he was like, and I still remember that. And so I was a huge Ultimate Warrior fan. And then, well, and then I started watching NWA and I saw Ric Flair and then everything ended for me. I was just,
and that was a game changer.
It was Ric Flair and Sting and that's all I cared about for a long, long time. But we both have warrior origin stories.
He was such a good gateway drug, you know? I mean, he was just, you know, like, I mean, just like, you know,
you know, it's not good, but you're just going to try it a few times.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, yeah. You know, I love the version I am when I watch The Ultimate Warrior, you know.
Yeah, I only have to wrestle for 42 seconds.
Yeah, I am so funny and hilarious. And you know.
Your brother told me a story once, and I'm wondering if you were there, but he told me a story of when he was at a show. He said he got thrown out of a wrestling show. And this was, we were all at your place in New York City, and we were playing Soul Calibur 2 or 3 or 4, I don't remember which one. Mm-hmm. And you guys were killing me with this dude with a long staff, and I couldn't get in, and it was driving me nuts. And we started talking.
Oh, yeah, Kalik. Yeah, Kalik. He just poke.
Oh, I hated that guy. Oh, and I hated you. And so he said he got thrown. I said, what happened? He said, I threw a beer on the big show, and they threw me out.
They should throw him
absolutely
out.
But
it's a dick move.
Were you there when that happened or no
fuck no, man. And if anything, I'd be pushing him towards the security guard like he did it. This right. Fucker did it.
See,
like,
you'd be the Russell Westbrook of the wrestling world.
Get this guy out of here, you know. Yeah,
so Kiri went he went hardcore. Yeah. Like hardcore. Yeah. And deep to the point where I had no, like, I couldn't even communicate with him. And there was this one other dude that could, and his name was Angelo.
Yeah, Foz.
And and we all know Foz, and we love Foz. And when I started working there, he started working there as well. Mm-hmm. And I took a little break, and you came in when I did, like, a GM spot just to, like, say hello and help out and be a part of the show. And I get asked this question all the time, and I think I know why, but it's better if you say it. But I get asked this all the time. Why didn't you ever get Mac to go and write for the WWE?
Oh, man. There were times where I wanted to, like, kind of just, you know, like, find, you know, 6 months of my life at the very least to kind of go in there and stuff. And, you know, I will say I do kind of regret not doing that. Like now that I'm a dad and stuff like that, like I barely have time to pee at this point.
That's why I quit.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I know. I knew it. Yeah. I figured that, you know, yeah, exactly. All makes sense now, you know, yeah. But yeah, no, I just never got around to it thing. You know, there was always something. Next thing I know, I'm like on the road being in a pizza band or something, you know what I'm saying?
You were in a pizza band like Europe, or you were in Paris or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I moved to France for like 5 years and stuff like that, you know, but also I came up with some really great, like Bray Wyatt story angles, like when alone in my room in Paris, man, you know, I really wanted to, they called me up for like consultation kind of stuff. Like, you know, how,
did
you
they?
Know, like,
yeah,
just, like,
sure.
Yeah.
I know just, a few, you know, people they've reached out to for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of just, you know, what do you think will make the brand better? What about that? And they don't, you know, I think they might've like done one or two things that I was like, hey, I'm not saying I came up with it or nothing, but at the same time I was like, oh, there you go, you know. But, you know, I'm just like, hey, you know, why don't we make the shows slightly different? Because I mean, just one's blue and one's red, like, you know, why don't, you know, I said, you know, God bless Kevin Dunn, but, you know, and it's like, nope, like, you know, this is our product. And I'm like, dig it, man. Like, you know, yeah.
And he's very protective of it, man. He's like
he's really good at what he does.
At what he does, yeah.
Far be it for me to criticize anything he's saying. I'm just saying, well, can we do something that's even just visually different, you know, things like that.
No, they're the generation of go with what you know. So they're like Garth, they fear change.
Oh, yeah, no shit. Especially the product now. Fuck, dude. Like, this is just, I have to see one more fucking, like, don't get me wrong. I'm actually looking forward to what will be different this time. But if I see Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns one more freaking time, you know.
I know, man.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, they'll do the same pay-per-view, like, back to back.
Well, they did that with Cena and Orton for 2 years straight, it felt like.
Yeah, it's always like a, like, New Day Usos, like, every freaking card, like, you know, and it's just like, well, you know, and I understand that, like, their roster obviously isn't as deep as it was a year ago. Back then, they've cut, I think, 86 wrestlers from their roster in the past calendar year.
So
it's like, you know, like, yeah, so, like, you don't really have this rich variety that maybe you might have had before and stuff, but even then, man, it's just like, you know, how many times can we watch the same match over? I mean, literally, I think it was recently, it was like, right, like Survivor Series, and I think the, like, you know, the one before that, they were like, or was the, I think it was the two before that, they were virtually the same card, man, and it's just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you know, yeah,
when you and I were younger, they allowed the storylines to develop sometimes for almost a year before you got that final payoff. And I think once the Attitude Era hit, they gave you everything right away in a 4-week package. And it kind of changed the way the stories were told, almost pay-per-view to pay-per-view. And at a certain point, I feel like you just run out of stories to tell. So they just go with what they know. And I'm not saying,
man,
this is the...
You're running out of stories. Come on.
They are running out of stories. Believe me.
I
pitched 100 if I pitched one every week. When you're pitching to a wall, it's going to bounce back at you.
Well, that's kind of the problem, you know? That's the problem right there. Because, you know, there's never going to be a lack of stories. I mean, you know, Three's Company, you know, they had an episode in the first season where they had to hide a puppy from the landlords, the Ropers, and then in season like six, they're hiding a kitten from Mr. Furley. You know, like, it's just like, you know, yeah, it's like, man, you could just repackage some of this shit. You know, as long as you give it enough time, you know, you can do this.
Wrestling's had more time than any TV show ever.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there is something to your point of, like, these longer stories, but then at the same time, there was less product on television, and, you know, you were totally fine with, like, you know, watching Bad News Brown beat up Jerry the Jobber, on Saturday mornings kind of thing. Like, you know, now then, you know, no one's going to be, like, down with that. There's only, you know, like, you can't really have too many Coco Beware's in your company anymore. You know what
it's,
I mean?
Like, it's hard, and you have to, because you have to have people that can lose, right? And, and you have to give them a run at least once a year, at least a baby run, so that they're credible, that the guys you want to get over, the girls you want to get over, have a villain or a good guy to beat.
That was the Dolph Ziggler kind of thing, man. They kept on jobbing him out. And he was just like, if I don't win one, no one's like, and listen, the guy bumps like a boss. I would love to see him and a Kurt Hennig, in a match together. All they're doing is bumping and not actually attacking
just
each other.
Just outselling each other
hilarious.
The entire match. Yep. Those are the best matches, when it's two wrestlers trying to outsell each other.
That'd be a freaking dream right there. You know, throw Shawn Michaels in there too. Like Shawn Michaels
the Hogan
match
Hogan
from SummerSlam.
Yeah, yeah. Just does it like a double backflip.
Love it. Like, you know, yeah, I want to see that. You know, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Dolph Ziggler, like, he's guilty of selling way too well. So next thing you know, they freaking job him out. You know, yeah.
Mac, have you been to Kendrick's Wrestling Pro Wrestling shows here in Los Angeles? I took a buddy of yours from New York, Matt, and his brother, and they literally have matches like that where it was he's a wizard, and his name is the Great Branzino. And let me back up. Xavier Woods brought me and introduced me to this, and I'm like, what am I seeing here? And he goes, it's holiday wrestling. I go, what are you talking about, holiday wrestling? He goes, it's the Christmas show. He goes, I'm not telling you anything else. I go, all right. So we sit down, and the first match is a guy named Emotep, but it's Emo, E-M-O, Tep, and he's a mummy.
But he shops at Hot Topic.
Well, he has a bleached bandage that comes down over his eye, and the eye makeup is Egyptian and dramatic, but he wrestles the way a mummy would wrestle, very slowly.
Oh my gosh.
And all the matches are like this. And they put a holiday story around each one. And in this one in particular, it was Die Hard. And they had literally a guy named the Sexy Assassin, and he has a lisp, so he sounds like Daffy Duck. He comes in the middle of the Emotep match, and with all these like lumberjack looking guys that are, some are buff, some are not so buff. And he takes the microphone and he goes, I'm the sexy assassin. I'm not going to do a sexy assassin impression because he was too good. And he says, I'm taking over wrestling, pro wrestling. And to prove it, I'm calling the owner of the company right now and you can listen in. And we're in the Moose Lodge in Burbank. So it's like 100 people. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he calls the owner of wrestling, pro wrestling. And the speaker comes on and plays in, ring, ring. And I look at Xavier and I go, no, nobody's picking up. And he looks back at me and he goes, no, he never picks up. And it rings about 7 more times. And then he gets super mad and he hangs up and he goes, well, just because he's not there doesn't mean I'm not taking over.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And to help me, I brought a bunch of lumberjack orphans that were never adopted. And they all turn to the crowd and they go, we're orphans that were never adopted. And the crowd's literally yelling back, we just heard him say that. Like, they're going back and forth. And then the only way that you can save the show, of course, from this Hans Gruber sexy assassin who's taking over the show is you got to have a John McClane. And that John mm-hmm. McClane is none other than a character they have named Cereal Man. And Cereal Man is dressed like you and I, but he has this amazing prosthetic cereal box completely like plastered to his head.
Oh my God.
And
goodness.
It says Wheaties and or whatever their version of Wheaties is. But I'm telling you, like the cosplay that they do for these is top shelf. They do full kaiju matches, okay? Like literally kaiju matches and people, giant monsters are falling out of the ring and breaking their, it's hysterical. So
I'm in.
So John McClane comes, or Cereal Man comes up and he says, I'm going to stop you. And throughout the whole night, which is about 2.5 hour show, he starts assassinating some of the lumberjacks. And at the end of the show, the sexy assassin gets the only person close enough to Cereal Man that he can get leverage, right? Like the John McClane's wife, whatever, Holly McClane, right? Mm-hmm. And, but their version.
Played by my aunt, by the way.
Well, side quest. Hello.
Yeah, that's my aunt. That's actually my aunt. Bonnie Bedelia is my aunt. She plays Holly McClane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, family affair.
It's getting tighter and
tied all back to my family.
That's right.
Yeah.
So their Bonnie Bedelia is, of course, Pop-Tart Boy, who is a giant Pop-Tart and only his hands can poke out and his feet, so he can't really wrestle. And he's got him on top of the turnbuckle, and he's going to throw him off the turnbuckle the way they were going to fall out the Nakatomi yep. Plaza. But here comes Cereal Man, and he walks right by Austin and I, and instead of a 9mm tape to his back, he's got a pack of cereal. And he takes it off, and this guy, God bless him, man, he throws it, and it hits the sexy assassin right in the head, and the sexy assassin falls off, and then his Velcro gets stuck to the Pop-Tart's Velcro, and Cereal Man comes in and undoes it, and the sexy assassin falls off the turnbuckle and lands on the lumberjack orphans that were never adopted. And the main event that was supposed to happen never happens. They literally just say, thanks for coming out and good night. And they do it for Thanksgiving,
Halloween. How can you top that?
Bro,
you know
I've seen them top it with RoboCop on Thanksgiving, which was hysterical. Yeah. Like, they do the weirdest stuff. But you said something earlier that led me to this, which is now I'm leading back to you. You said something like 83 wrestlers had been released.
Yeah, I think 86.
86 wrestlers have been released, right? People like Keith Lee, people like Karrion Kross that I think are like, yeah. Whoa, that's a shock that you would release them. People like Bray Wyatt, where I'm like, that's the only attraction left in professional wrestling, but okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's weird, but right on. With all these wrestlers, and I already said this on a podcast with Ariel Helwani. I just did this Netflix movie and I'm doing a couple more after this. And I'm putting a little kitty together, right? In the old days, that would be like a little piggy bank, a little kitty. And uh-huh. I want to start not to make money because it won't. And not to compete with anyone because I'm not trying to do that. But just to start a West Coast indie wrestling brand. And there's so many free. Now, granted, I'm a year and a half away from this coming to fruition. I just finished the first one, so I'm still a little ways out. But when I'm ready to go, I just want to have a 2-year plan where if it makes money, cool, but is probably not, which is what my accountant said.
Yeah. You're hoping for a break-even endeavor.
Yeah, right? I'll take it. I'll take it. And I'll try to do things the old Cornette way as far as business. I like if I can find some places that actually want to play it. Otherwise, I'll just play it on my YouTube channel and screw all them. Mm-hmm. I want to start an indie league, an indie wrestling league. And I don't know if I want it to be kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with GCW, where Cordona's wrestling now. They brought a lot of cool back to wrestling. Like there's just some cool elements to it, but I don't know if I want to go that direction or if I want to go full like comedy wrestling, like wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, the silly attraction kind of stuff.
If
yeah,
you
yeah.
and I were to, mm-hmm. were to start a wrestling brand, what would you want it to be?
Oh, like between those two?
And not between those two, whatever you want it to be.
Oh, we're just in
general?
Let's talk about it
and maybe, you know, in a year and a half we do it. I don't know.
I like the silly stuff kind of thing. I think, you know, I think that's something that's kind of missing from wrestling. You know, Attitude Era still had that stuff.
I mean,
Kane could still shoot lightning, you know, like stuff like that. Like, you know, yeah, like, you know, some of that kind of like that kind of over the topness, I think, has been sorely missed in wrestling. So I think engaging in something like that would be a lot of fun. You know, I always had this idea for a character called The Arm. He's got one strong arm and he does all of his moves with this one arm and the other arm is just doesn't do any, no effect, just like, you know, punch, nothing. But this one's choke slam, like, oh God, the arm, you know, yeah.
You have
like,
to convince someone to get super buff on one side.
Yeah. Just on one arm. The guy like, hey, Braun Strowman, hey dude, would you mind just working out one arm and just not
we'll
doing anything?
You,
with your
yeah. We'll pay you double to just completely morph your body. Didn't you have like a comedy character that we were joking about one time? I think we were talking about doing a like a D&D wrestling league and you were going to have a character named the Librarian.
Yeah, the Librarian.
She's
going to
interrupt promos and say,
every time the crowd popped, he'd go, shh. Like, you know, which is actually great heat. I'd love to see somebody just always shushing the audience every time he loses because he's so well schooled, because he's already read all the rules, all the books on wrestling. He always can get his losses overturned because of some kind of technicality.
Or turned into no contests or something like that.
Yes, exactly. You know, so he's got a spotless record, you know, yeah.
Like, he would work in comedy wrestling.
Heck yeah. No, the Dewey Decimation System? You know, that would be his finisher.
Mm-hmm. All right. See, this would be good at a Moose Lodge place.
If you're going for silly, yum, your man. You know, we can come up with all kinds of silly stuff. You know,
believe me, I know. Okay.
I love this Netflix funded wrestling federation.
It's all right, man. They don't care where I put my money. All right.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm in.
They just care.
Doing gigs exclusively. Yeah,
they just
want to
make
federation.
Sure I fall in love in 96 minutes or less. That's all they care about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it'll fund my Ultimate Warrior inspired wrestling fantasy. Yes. But no, we're not going to say that.
Yeah, yeah, taking the Jim Cornette package, like, all right, yeah, all right. There
no,
you go.
I just like his business package. That's all. I want to end on women's wrestling because mm-hmm. when I got there, the women had 5-minute matches, and 2 minutes of it was their intros. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I think were you there with like Lita and Trish and stuff like that?
No, I was
right?
post Lita and Trish.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean, I forget what people nicknamed that, but yeah, I mean, it was just kind of just trashy. It was just, you know, good looking women like riding around with each other, you know, in skimpy outfits.
Yeah. It was goofy. And when I got there, their matches, they weren't allowed to do much. I would see the producers literally tell Vince in the production meetings, like, look, on the road, we're letting these girls work and they can do these moves. They're not getting hurt. They've been doing them for months now. You got to let them do it. He'd be like, no, no, they're going to get hurt. They can't do it. And so the women had to fight girls like Eve Torres, the Bellas, McCool and Layla. They were like Lay Cool or something like that. That was in between two stints was the Lay Cool experiment. Beth Phoenix, Natty Neidhart, like that was like the group that was there.
So no, those are some legit talents.
You know? Yeah, but they had no time. And then I left, and the Total Divas show started outrating segments of Raw, and all of a sudden, the women that were on that show started getting 9-minute matches, and then they had commercial breaks, and then that next generation of wrestlers came in. And really just took flight off of that foundation to where they were headlining.
Flair, Lynch, all those.
Yeah, Banks and Bayley had a 60-minute Iron Woman match on NXT when it was before it looked like you can't do that on television.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started. There's a soapbox right over there. But they kind of like took flight. And then all these releases happened. And it looks as if they're pushing more towards that pretty girl, less time. I don't time the women's matches, but I have timed a couple of them because it felt.
I don't, but I do.
They felt like they've been getting shorter. And what were 13-minute matches are 11-minute matches now. So if I'm worried that it's going back the other direction, but if they keep releasing them, AEW, who I find lacking in a women's roster as far as
I think that's one of their flaws. I think otherwise, I think they're actually a really cool company. I dig what
I do too. What about, and they would have to start it by signing a bunch of these women, but what if AEW did a women's division and gave it an hour and a half or gave it the full 2 hours on one of their nights? Mm-hmm. They have a lot of men don't necessarily
talk about that.
Has there?
Well, there's been talk about like a women's only kind of show. You know what I mean?
Well, they're going to try with WOW, but they don't have the level of talent that AEW.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm talking. I forget which. Where there was. It was somebody was talking about this. No, not just a Fed that is all women. It's like literally just giving the women a show. You know, like that kind of thing. Giving them an hour, like kind of a week. And I think, I don't think it's WWE, but I just remember. I think it was a women's wrestler that was like.
Oh, Ring of Honor.
Was it Ring of Honor? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Ring exactly. of Honor. Women sounds great.
It sucks that we're at a point where you kind of do have to time some of these matches. Like that's actually, the fact that that's even a notion is messed up. Like that's not the way it should be.
They're putting together matches that are insane. Sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, but that's what I mean is that like before when there were just these 5-minute matches, I mean, women's wrestling was a joke from from even with the when I first started watching the Rock and Robin and stuff like that, and just like fuck, man, I don't like it was just like that was your pee break, you know?
There
really wasn't a lot going on, you know? Yeah, and then they didn't really, I think there was I think that kind of stigma kind of stuck for a while until you actually started letting some of these women cut loose and actually do some things. It's like now you can. It's not crazy for them to headline WrestleMania or to close the show at Survivor Series.
You can put Charlotte Flair in any WrestleMania main event, mm-hmm. and people are going to want to watch. I mean, that's a no-brainer,
regardless of men or women or whatever. Like exactly, it's just good.
This
wrestling.
This is her peak. This is her time, man. Like she may not be the best actor, but she owns that character, and when she stays in that character and she never breaks, it's gold, man. Like she should never be a baby face as long as John Cena wasn't a heel. Like that's how long she should be a heel for.
I think that's fair. Becky Lynch as a heel is kind of been interesting.
I don't buy that. She's always the underdog.
That's the problem is that you don't buy it. It's the turn didn't work right, that kind of thing. People still want people still freaking are cheering for her and stuff.
That Charlotte and beef that she and Charlotte had is still so fresh in people's minds, and it's like for them to just get that one match out of that and then just say, well, they're on different brands, so it's over. It's like, man, that's 3 pay-per-views. You could get 3 pay-per-views out of that
easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she could interfere with her on Raw. Charlotte could interfere with her on SmackDown for what? For 4 months? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, you know, I'm always of two minds when it comes to the brand split anyway. You know, it gives people more TV time, you know, and we have a deep roster. I think that's a good, you know, good thing. They've got a lot of talent that, you know, you want to be able to see. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think it does prevent you from certain kind of matchups, and not necessarily in a good way. There's not these dream matchups per se that you actually like, oh, I can't wait till, you know, Survivor Series where, you know, Big E gets to take on Roman yeah. Reigns. Like that you know, it doesn't tickle you in that kind of way. But you know, like, I don't think they've taken full advantage of it. Like, you know, I think maybe they tried to do like an invasion storyline once or twice or something like that, you know, but again, they're the same product, like, you know, on both yeah. shows, like stylistically, they're the same. They look the same. One is just blue and the other one is red. And like, that's, it just, you know, so I don't even pay attention to who's on what roster anymore. You know what I mean? I can tell when I just glance at what color their belt is, but otherwise, like, I don't know who's on, you know, I don't know which show Miz is on. I just know that he's on.
And it isn't important to the fans which show they're on anymore. Like,
There is not a brand loyalty, yeah. you know, because they're actually, they aren't separate brands. They're both WWE.
By the way, how can they make NXT look so different, but they can't make SmackDown and Raw look different in any way, shape, or form?
In any way, exactly.
And I don't mean for the better. Like, I don't think they improved NXT. I thought NXT went from the most watchable product in WWE to unwatchable in a week. Like, it just, there was just nothing there for me. And they have some wrestlers that I still like, but I just don't. And the name thing, I still don't get. Like, I just, they got Rick Steiner's kid, and he's going to call himself Bron Breakker.
Mm-hmm. And the kid's good,
I
too.
I love him, but Breakker, man. Like, and then they'll change it when he gets to Raw, and it'll be, you know, Brick Brackman. Like,
exactly. Brackman.
I just don't get it, man. Like, what they did to Karrion Kross was insane. They had a guy who looked like a
They turned him to a Mortal Kombat villain.
Yeah. He had on red suspenders. They put him in red suspenders. You know how? Imagine you create this great character, right? As an actor. And then a new director comes onto the movie and is like, hey, man, we feel like for this, you lost all your hair. Like, you have alopecia.
You have a unicorn horn coming out of the top.
You're
of
just
your
like,
head.
Wait, these movies made $1 billion. This is your first movie, man. Like, even if it's your 10th, what are you talking about? When he came out, in like the porno dungeon mask and the red suspenders. I felt bad for the guy. I didn't even know him. I reached out to a wrestler that I do know who I happen to know was on the road with him. And I was like, yo, man, give that dude a hug for me. And they,
you don't even know the dude. And you just feel
they
for him,
FaceTimed me that night. He was driving and it was Morrison. John Morrison was riding shotgun. Mm-hmm. And I literally was like, bro, I'm so sorry. And he was like, dude, thanks, man. It's been hard, but I got it. He goes, I got to stay with it.
It's like his grandma just died or something.
And his girl, Scarlett Bordeaux, they were like the evil macho and Elizabeth for NXT. And they're like, we're going to split you guys up. And you look like a linebacker who could legit beat up everybody. So we're going to get rid of that too.
Put you
in some video game costumes and see how that goes. Mm-hmm. I never felt bad for someone, not since I worked in the company. I haven't felt bad for someone.
What is it? Was it Harper and Rowan? Oh, was it the Bash Brothers? They give them big axes or something.
My daughter said, Dad, why are they doing that to these big guys? She's 12 now. I think she was 10 then. And I'm like, yo, my daughter knows that humongous men don't need weapons. How do you not know this?
The only thing that would make that better if she was fighting through tears to say it, you know?
Mac, when they gave him the basket that he kept covered, my daughter literally just walked in the room, looked at the TV. She was 11, I think, at this point, and goes, here we go again, and just walked out. And I was like, she's 11 and doesn't want to watch. Like, what are you doing to these humongous people?
Yeah, no, exactly. I feel like they've kind of, you know, the E has really kind of lost focus on all this. And I think there is some kind of master plan. You know, they're bringing in all these new people and I mean, personally, I think they're going to sell. I think that's exactly what's going on.
You're exactly
regardless
right.
of what they say. Yeah. You know, I think Vince doesn't feel like anyone, like, you know, in his family can do this. You know, he's like, yeah, Vince had to buy the company from his dad. So he's like, all right, Stephanie, if you want to buy it, you know,
you have to kill the king.
$4 billion. Yeah, exactly.
So I haven't said this before, but I'll say it now because it's been long enough. So I was talking to a dude who was interviewing to be their COO, or a dude that they wanted to interview. And they ended up going with Nick Khan. He had passed, but he just wanted to talk to me about the company.
Another Khan in wrestling. Yeah.
And so we were just talking about the brand and all this. He goes, yeah, they wanted us to buy the whole product. He was an exec at Fox. He goes, they wanted us to buy the whole brand, but the number they wanted wasn't a number we were going to pay. So we licensed SmackDown instead. And I said, were you going to...
And overpaid for that too.
I said, were you even considering the job? He goes, no, but I just wanted to talk to you to make sure I wasn't like crazy and losing my mind. I said, nah, man, it's a crazy place to work. So you got a nice job in LA. Your family's in LA. Stay in LA. But I knew they were going to sell a long time ago off that. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was just like, yo, Vince isn't going to let anyone have it. That's crazy. Nope. That's crazy. He'd
much rather have a faceless corporation have it rather than, like, you know, keep it in the family.
Yeah, man.
Like that. You know,
we're going to start a wrestling federation.
We
got to think
in.
Of a name. We'll start texting you ideas.
Don't forget the arm.
The arm and the librarian. We have to make sure we have both of them. I could just do steroids in one arm for like 6 months. I'm willing to make the sacrifice.
All right, there you go. We found
our
arm.
How it works?
You know,
it works like that.
Yeah, that's how it works. Just one, just keep injecting.
All right,
you know,
once
see
a week
what happens.
In the bicep. Yeah. You got it. Sure. Ivan Drago style. All right, dude. Yeah. Thank you so much for being a guest. Thank you for being a friend, like the Golden Girls always said.
Oh, that's so cute. Thank you. Actually, I got my son some Golden Girls dolls.
Did you really?
For
I'm going to tell Woodsy
that.
He's going on the Golden Girls cruise.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I remember. Because he asked for time off. I heard about this. He asked for time off like in
it's
April
crazy.
To do this freaking thing.
Crazy. All right.
Yeah, so I got him some of these little things. It was
that's
hilarious.
Amazing.
So he can play with his little Elmo and his little
and his
Sophia.
And his little B. Arthur.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
All right, my brother. Thank you. And enjoy being a great dad.
Yeah, that's the idea.
This has been a production of iHeartRadio's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.